interesting. Everybody, and welcome back this week, as promised. It's Deborah Hartswell and Steve Hebbican, and we are on the Crypto Realm on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. And if you remember, Steve was chatting with me last week, and we were talking about events that happen in your past and whether some people pick up an energy and other people don't. And Steve was really kind that he shared quite a few experiences with us, and we got near the end of the show, and I had to cut him short, unfortunately. And I've had a number of people asking me what happened. So luckily, I'm about to tell you. And where did we get up? So Steve had visited Cannock just really because he'd noticed the videos and things, and that people were getting an interest. And he thought, I'll have a walk down there and I'll see if I can see anything. And he did. And he had a whistle, and he had some feeling of being shadowed, that we, you know, structures were down there, and we chatted about that. And then he went on to explain about the second time that he went. If I can pick up there with Steve. Hello, Steve, how are you?
Hello, Debbie, are you right?
I am, yeah, I am. It's very rainy here in Lancashire. What's it like in the Midlands?
Well, it's dark. I've got my blinds, so I'm not sure.
Right. Well, it's peed down here all day. It's been grizzly.
Yeah. You wanted me to continue with...
Yes, please. If you remember, you would... Did you have the dog with you, or am I mixing that up? I can't remember if you said you had a dog with you.
Well, that was one of the times I went down with the dog. That was... It was my daughter's dog, then it became mine, then it became my daughter's again. But anyway, I've seen, like, things to do with the mechanic chase, and because I live on the doorstep of mechanic chase.
Yeah.
Tommy of Shorts, journey up the road. And I was intrigued with the stories of the British Bigfoot and Dogmen and that people were calling Cannock Chase a paranormal hotspot of the UK.
Yeah.
And so, because I'm not actually right in Cannock Chase, and I'm on the outer periphery of it, I thought, well, I'd just explore the local woods, taking your advice off one of the YouTube things. So, because of my life and the different experiences that I've had, I didn't think, well, if anybody's going to experience anything or whatever, chances are it'll be me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was a bit apprehensive because I thought, well, although I've seen a few things, experienced a few things, it still could be scary because it's the unknown.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I went down to this... there's some woods that I noticed at the back of this park. And anyway, I think it was probably coming towards the end of February, something like that.
Yeah.
Of this year. It was really cold. And we'd had some horrific,
We had a lot of snow, didn't we? We had some bad weather.
And I thought, well, the chances are, if I go down there, I might see something in the snow, footsteps or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went down to the... I made my way to the back of the park. I went into the woods, and this was the first occasion. And I'm not sure what the official temperature was supposed to be on that day.
Yeah.
But it said on this phone, I had this really old phone, but the web... It said the real feel, you know, taking the wind chill and everything into account, minus 20.
Flipping out.
I was fairly wrapped up, but my hands were bare, you know, and I had this stick that I would have with me, you know, just like a bit of a walking stick type thing. And I was thinking, crikey, I wish I'd put something on my hands, you know, And I was thinking to myself, you know, why am I this weather, you know, walking about in the woods, you know? And then I thought, well, maybe the creatures knocking about, they might take advantage of humans not being about.
Yeah, exactly,
And it should be safe. Anyway, in a sense, I was thinking I might experience something, and part of me was thinking, it's your first time walking down there.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot, you know, there's lots of serious investigators who, it seems, you know, they've not, you know, it might take them a while. So, anyway, I walked into the woods, and anyway, it was like bitter cold, and I'd gone quite a way through the trees, and I felt drawn in a particular direction, and then all of a sudden I had this one almighty whack that someone had took a fairly sizable stick and then whacked a tree trunk with it, you know, just one on that occasion. And I was like, okay, and I just stopped dead. And then I thought, well, who in the right mind would be out in these woods? Forget about myself. Who in the right mind would be out in these woods in these temperatures? Playing silly buggers, like I'm banging a tree with a stick. So I just stood still, and then anyway, I took a few steps, and I thought, well, I'll just go in the direction of the stick, strike on the tree, and as I took a few steps, I was aware of a sound of like footsteps, and when I stopped, the footsteps stopped. And I'm like, okay. This is something going on here. Anyway, instead of going directly towards, I went across for like 15, 20 steps. And then again, I had a few steps. And then they stopped. And I had this feeling. I thought, well, okay. I'm not really prepared at the moment to encounter something.
What if something does come out of those trees, you know? I think we all have that dilemma.
Yeah, and then I felt, well, if it's like an intrusion into their home territory, I think I'd better just turn around and show them that I'm not
a threat,
defense, or, you know, I'm not there to hunt them down or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I turned around and I walked out of the trees. And the feeling of presence, it was so strong, you know, it was really, but I didn't need any more footsteps as I walked away, you know, I don't think there was any, obviously I was probably being observed, but, you know, so anyway, I came out of there, and I went to tell my kids, Ebony and somewhere, living in the same street as me, and I said, you know, when I've been talking about, because I call it squatching. I said, you know what I was saying about, I was going to get down the woods and do a bit of squatching. I said, leave this, and I'm telling them exactly what I just told you. And of course, my kids, because they know the things that I've told them,
yeah.
I said to them, listen, try to remember the things I've told you about some of my experiences. It's important later on with any of your kids as you grow older and have your own experiences. So anyway, I thought, okay, now, because my ex-wife, she's got a borderline personality disorder.
Right.
Now, she had come on the scene, and it was a bit disruptive with myself and my kids. So that was like knocking me about. And so it was a bit difficult to try and concentrate on doing any investigating properly. Anyway, so it was a bit sporadic with me going down. Anyway, I eventually went down on another day, and when I went down on this other day, I went to the far left of the woods. And I thought, well, I'll show a bit of respect. If there's like things down right, I will respect their area. To the left. So anyway, there's like a main sort of track that people follow to go up. Anyway, I was walking up there, and very occasionally you might encounter people who've got a dog or something, which like a bit of an area where people do that, you know, and get the fresh air for the dog. But the far right part that I'm talking about, you can't really get down to that because of how thick the woods are and how hard the ground and the batten balls and whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be a perfect place to hide out if you were a big creature.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's what we look for, isn't it? Yeah.
So I was walking up this this track, I called it, and anyway, I've gone so far up. And then, again, yeah, I sort of had this strange feeling, as you do, of like, it's really hard to put into words, but it's like, you know when you feel as though you're being watched, or...
Yeah, I am no longer alone, that feeling. Yeah.
It's like something, you know, affects you, and you think, oh. And then I thought, well, hang on, is it... You know, like auto-suggestion, you know.
Yeah, I get you, yeah. No, it's your animal brain picking up on things that you don't even know that you're picking up on. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when I had this feeling, and then I started eating these wax.
Yeah.
So automatically, me having the mind that I've got, I started counting the wax.
Yeah.
And there was exactly 8 strikes. And it was, again, down the far end of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
In the direction where I heard the first knock previous on another trip down there. So anyway, I thought, okay, and then I was trying to think, I wonder if there's any kind of any rhyme or reason to the knocks, you know, could what I mean, heads up, guys, or someone about, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if it's that, a people alarm, almost.
Yeah. So anyway, I was like, okay, so I went up the main track. Now, it's a shame, really, because when I first went down there, there was a big massive tree.
Mm.
'Cause you go up this track and then you turn left. And, I mean, the track, of course, it's just like... It's a muddy place, so it's hard in places. And but anyway, there's like a big massive tree that looks as though it's been pushed over. And I had the feeling it was like to block people going up and down there, you know. As though whoever, you know, it took exception to people keep walking through their yard, you know.
No, I get you. A similar situation that I've got here. As you're speaking now, I've got the same thing. It's a tree, a living green tree, but it's been pushed over. And if you didn't know the area, you'd think that was the end of the trail, and you'd just turn around and walk back.
Well, that's it, yeah. And so... But I took my daughter up, Ebony, on one of the days... And I was showing her where it looked to me as though, you can imagine like a young child having a bit of a tantrum.
Yeah.
Like uprooting trees and like tossing them about or whatever. And there were different trees and when she got down there, I said, I remember you telling me, Dad, I said, but it's a crikey. I said, it does look as though something's gone on here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I pointed to one of the trees and I said, I says, for example, I said, look at that tree.
Mm.
It's got its base up in the air, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, if it was blown over by the wind, you'd expect it to just be blown over and lying on the ground, you know.
But yeah, exactly. Not tipped. Yeah. But, you're not very far from Bilston, are you, really? And I know of another account that's exactly the same setup. Where the tree's upside down, the roots are up, and the leaf end is down. So within a few miles of you, there is exactly the same setup.
Well, I wanted to try and get down there and take some photographs, but my phone at the time, it was some kind of a card that I got it going. It and anyway, I didn't have the finances to get this thing, but. I said to my other daughter, Summer, I said, she got a camera, I said, can I go down and take some photos of these trees and more spiny structures, which I'll come on to in a minute. Anyway, but then I went down to take some pictures, and the forestry people must have been and chopped these trees up and I'd move some of the obstructing trees out of the way that looks as though they've been placed across the footpath.
Yeah.
And there's this big massive one that must have been about, probably about 2 feet diameter, you know.
Yeah.
And everything had been moved, and I thought, oh, no, I really wanted that. But anyway, so I have managed to take some pictures.
Yeah.
I know that there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures that people are taking going through different areas. But to me, because I know a little bit about bushcraft, and I'm no expert, but I know a little bit about bushcraft and how to make an A-frame or a lean, things like that. But these things were not, they didn't seem to serve
a purpose,
And I'm thinking, okay, and I knew I'd seen some things on YouTube, on some of the vids on there.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, so this camera that I borrowed off my daughter, I was taking some pictures. I'm not sure what kind of quality the will turn out, but my son-in-law, rather, he said he'll be able to help me to upload. All techie, you know. So the area people will be able to see. And anyway, the rest of it is, I know this might sound a bit disjointed, but I'm just trying to cover the experiences that I've had. I wish that I'd have done a proper record, like with dates, you know, the day.
A little journal, that's handy, because you think, oh, I'll remember it, but even I didn't do that in the beginning. What I need to ask you before you go on to the next bit, there's some questions that I need to ask. Did you see signs of vehicles when you said it was cleared up, or was the area cleared up, just cleared up? Did you see Forestry Commission? Or was it just clean?
That's an interesting question, because I didn't actually see any forestry workers. I did see a track.
Right.
That I thought to be probably a motorbike or something. But then I was told by an old fellow that I was chatting to that there'd been some deer killed. Straight away, my ears went up when he said that. And I said, okay. I said, what's the circumstances? And he says, well, he says, there's obviously some poaching going on. He says, he says they found, like, the feet, the legs have been chopped off. And the entrails have been taken out and left behind.
The reason I asked you is because people on YouTube are great at putting up structures, but what they don't take note of is when some structures can move overnight. Some areas can be absolutely full of X's and bent over trees and arches, and you can go back 4 or 5 days later and you think you're in the wrong place because it's all gone. It's as if, and I'm not saying it wasn't the Forestry Commission, for everybody out there who's going, she's got a big foot on the brain, it could very well have been the Forestry Commission that had come in and moved everything. But we make a note of that, and then if the same thing happens next year at a similar time, we can look for it, like, two makes is not a pattern, but it makes you look. And then if it happens over 3 years, you think, well, hang on a minute. There's similar things happening year in, year out, and it's just, I'm in a really similar area to you. We're both right on the edge of town, and we've got loads of green belt at the side of us, lots of little woods and streams and pockets and areas that people do not walk, and I'm seeing the same thing. There's one patch of my wood that I call Eleanor's Wood, and I went down with my daughter about 12 months ago, and exactly the same setup, Steve. Trees had been pushed down over the path, as if to say, right, that's the end of the trail, you don't need to be going that way. And then it was only 6 or 7 weeks later we went back that there was no trace of them whatsoever. They hadn't been cut down and moved.
Hello, Dick. I'm not sure what happened there.
It's okay. It's okay, I've got you. Don't worry about it. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, so it just looked as if somebody had moved everything that we'd seen the past couple of times that we'd gone in there. And it was quite startling. I went out with my friend a couple of weeks later and it was a similar setup. The woods, again, were, there was a number of structures that looked like they wouldn't be big enough for bushcraft. You couldn't have gotten them unsheltered. And from some angles, you couldn't even see them, if you get what I mean. And then I go down a couple of weeks later and it's all gone again. It looks like the area's been completely cleared. But I can see my woods from the house, so I know that there's nobody in there clearing, if you get what I mean. And I'm just thinking it's a really similar situation to what you're describing.
And that, I think some of it was cleared by the forestry people, because I did look at the edges of where the some wood had been cut up.
Yeah.
And it was a bit smooth, sawn with a saw.
Yeah. They usually leave sign behind, don't they, exactly like that. Where you see where they've cut, where they've used the saw to cut. And normally, they make a right mess of the ground, don't they, when they come in and they go out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the archways, I was intrigued by those because, I mean, I suppose archways could possibly happen in nature. But I was bearing in mind what people were saying about the end of the arch.
Yes, being pinned. Yeah.
So, anyway, in this wood, I must have counted about four archways in different places in the wood. And I was trying to think, well, hang on, let's try and use a rational...
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if there are any pouches of those, could they perhaps drape a net over the arch to try and hide behind, you know?
Are they making a blind with it or something? Yeah, I get you. Is there a practical use to this arch?
Footprints of any people about who had done anything around these arches. And a couple of the arches were really muddy around.
Yeah, so you'd see sign of feet and boots, wouldn't you, really?
I saw plenty of deer imprints, foot imprints. Now, another occasion, again, going up this track through the woods, I'd gone about a third of the way up on this one morning. It was probably about 9:30, quarter to 10.
Yeah.
And it was a nice sunny day, and it was calm. There was no wind whatsoever. Because I was thinking, wow, this is really nice for the day. And all of a sudden, there was this almighty... And I knew it wasn't a twig, I knew it wasn't a brain. It was an actual tree.
Snap.
But I couldn't see where the tree was because of the terrain. But I thought, there's an actual tree broken there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did think, shall I walk over in that direction? But then I thought, well, hang on.
Yeah.
What if it's like, I want to let you know...
I'm here,
And I don't want you to come, you know, any closer, like. So, I thought, okay. But to my credit, you know, although you're a bit apprehensive of what you're going to go on, instead of walking over there towards where this actual tree break, I continued up the track. And I went up, and it goes to the left as you go around. Anyway, I've gone to the habit of, like, whistling and singing, because I remember on a YouTube that you put...
Yeah.
Try to let, you know, your presence itself to get used to, you know, and just do your normal thing. So I was doing that, and I was whistling and singing, and I came back down, and I was listening and whatever. But sometimes you get this, like, really strange... you know, the feeling of presence and being watched. But you get this, like... it's like a silence. Yeah, it's very quiet. And it's like... what's happened to all the birds?
Yeah, everything goes silent, yeah.
And you think, okay... it can creep you out if you're not used. Anyway, So, I don't think it was on that day, but one of the experiences I had, the dog, you asked about the dog earlier.
It was the tapping. Do you remember when it was a funny week, because I believe in the coincidences just don't happen, do they? And you had spoken privately about the tapping noise and the wonky owls, as I call them.
I was going to go on to that, but I'll just say about the dog first.
Yeah.
This dog, I went out on one of the mornings, and it's what you call a Shep Keita.
Right.
It's a Keita, German Shepherd. Anyway, she's a big dog, and she doesn't seem frightened of anything.
Mm.
She's lovely, but, you know, she wants to be aggressive.
Yeah, she can be, yeah.
Anyway, I started walking up this track, and this is no exaggeration. Mm. I got to the exact spot where the tree...
The whack, yeah.
And where this tree had, been forcefully broken by something, we didn't hear a tree break on that day, but mm-hmm. she stopped in precisely the place where I heard the tree break.
Right.
And although I couldn't see where the tree had broken at that point,
okay, yeah.
She just stopped and she wouldn't go any further. And I was like, come on, Quill, let's go up here. I tried throwing something and she wasn't interested in it. She didn't look scared.
Right.
But she didn't want to go any further.
Yeah, yeah.
I turned about and I came back. But that was just something I've just added to it in case it's significant, you know.
It very well could be, because she'll be picking up on something that we can't smell or see, if you get what I mean, or an energy of some kind, because it's... You have to listen to your dog, don't you? When you're out with your dog and your dog doesn't want to go into an area, it's... To me, you take note of that, because it happens a lot in the sightings, with the Bigfoot sightings. People will say, the dog went ballistic, but, I tried pushing on her. I picked them up and tried, one guy said that his dog bit him. She was that frightened that she turned and nipped his hand, because he picked her up to try and carry her out. I've seen my own dogs do it as well, I've got to be honest. And it's a bit unnerving. Because, like you, I'm thinking, he's a big lad. He doesn't, nothing normally scares him. And when a dog covers its belly, to me, that's something that they're really worried about. And he did. He dropped to his belly. And he was whimpering really, really quietly, as if he didn't want to... If he was barking, then I'd know it was something he wanted to take on. But this wasn't. This was like a really... And he was on it, he'd lay down to his belly, and it terrified me. And I've never been back in that part of the wood, and that happened about 7 years ago, and I still call it the scary bit of the wood.
Another thing, just before I tell you about this knocking, I've also experienced on two occasions not feeling seriously ill, but a bit queasy, a bit as though, hang on, I don't feel very well, what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was intriguing, but some of the things that I've seen on YouTube, you know, with the people who...
I've heard that from the witnesses, that almost a feeling of being zapped by something, one of them described it as to me.
But it was just suddenly feeling a bit ill-like, I didn't feel any buzzing or any low rumblings.
Yeah.
But having said that, I've got reduced hearing in my right ear, but I can hear fairly well in my left ear. I just felt a bit nauseous on a couple of occasions, and I thought, you think it could be something. It could well have been something just natural, I might just felt a bit. But anyway, coming to these other knocks.
Yeah, the tapping.
Yeah, it was a nice, pleasant, sunny day. I'd gone up into the woods, and then I was I'd meandered onto the main track. I'd gone through the woods, and I was checking for various structures that had been added or taken away.
Yeah.
And anyway, I heard these knocks and I thought, oh, that sounds like a woodpecker, you know.
Yeah.
And then, as I'd acknowledge the first woodpecker, it's like behind me, down the track a little bit, there's another lot of knocking.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, two woodpeckers, that's okay, you know. And then suddenly there's another one to the one side.
Yeah.
And I was surrounded by these knocking, and I thought, well, hang on, is somebody winding me up? You know, I've my kids come down and...
Someone's going to jump out of the bushes in a minute and go, ah, got you, had you, yeah.
I thought someone was going to wind me up, and I thought, this is a bit weird, you know. Because in my travels, when I've gone through woods and different things prior to this, you either hear no woodpeckers, or if you're going to hear, you'll hear one. But I've not heard, you know, so there's a woodpecker vocal group, you know, movies of neighbours, you know, happen to be my next actor.
A trio, of musical woodpeckers, yeah. That's what the sceptics would tell you it was, yeah.
Then I was going on, and then because I was singing and whistling and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, there was this noise, and I was telling you, it sounded, because this was in the middle of the day, and I'm not a naturalist, but I mean, you expect owls at night.
At night, yeah, it's rare you hear them in day, especially, and in bad weather.
Yeah, and then this, all of a sudden I heard this, what was trying to be an owl,
mm-hmm.
and as though it wasn't quite pulling it off, you know.
Yeah.
And I had this feeling, I thought, it sounds like someone's trying to do an owl noise. A bit like if a human somewhere, you know, and I think, oh, I'll have a bit of fun with this guy walking along, and I'll pretend to be, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I thought, okay, so I stopped singing in there. And I thought, if there are any creatures like the British Bigfoot, maybe they could try and mimic. And because I've been singing, you know, it could be their way of trying to vocalise and make a musical sound. But anyway, again, behind me, down the track, I heard again this sort of like owl noise that wasn't quite making it.
Yeah, wonky owls, we call them.
And off to the one side, and I thought this is weird. No, is it something, you know, even by, you know, my experiences, you know, I thought this is weird. It's really something going on here. And so anyway, I started carrying on my singing and my whistling and whatever, and I just moved through the area, and I ended up in some fields, and then I thought, did I just experience that, or is it something?
You try to reason it away, don't you? You think, well, maybe this happened, or maybe, you know, maybe that happened, but it's like you've been at it like over a year now, really. We're about to come to a year, aren't we? And as you say, when you start going to one wood consistently, you start to notice strange things that you can't explain. And it's because you're getting used to the area. You see, a lot of people abroad, they will go from place to place to place to place looking. And I think, what if they only use the area for a couple of weeks in the year or even a couple of days in the year? Surely it'd be better to stay in one place till you know that one place like the back of your hand. And then you start to notice these things that don't... I think it was 2000 and way back, 2012, something like that, when I first realised, because I was talking to Kath Chadwick, who is an amazing researcher. And she said to me that, and she won't mind me speaking about it because she's had some fantastic, to be honest, she's had that much interaction that about 3 years ago she hung up a kit and just said, right, I've got my answers. And she is quite happily down there now with them interacting. But one of the things that she noticed was that in the rain sometimes and in the daytime, she would hear what she described as a signal, an owl call that was made, and it just sounded off. And I said to her, you know, I've heard that when I've been in the wood, and it always seems to be at the back of me. and then it's at the front of me, and it's as if it sounds really, really like an owl, but it's just off. There's just something about it that doesn't sound right. So I started asking other people, lovely lady called Daniela, who lives in Lancaster, not too far from me, actually, in Lancaster, same thing, wonky owls. Yeah. I'm trying to think how many people... Isabella, a lot of people have heard me speak about Isabella. Same thing, Steve. Once got that feeling, that sickly feeling, where she couldn't get up from the rock. She couldn't get up. She said to the point that she was that frightened. She got a mobile phone out to phone her daughter. She was really worried about how ill she felt. And as she did that, the feeling just went away from her. One of the first things she noticed was owls that would chorus, as she called it, call to each other and answer and reply. But there's something sounded off about them. They just didn't sound right. This is a woman who lives in a cottage in the middle of nowhere, and she's used to her owl sounds. It happens over and over and over again. But you know what else? It happens to the people who have UFO experience. They also speak of owls. You know, someone warned me a very long time ago and said, don't ever get involved with owls or anything like that. And I said to him, what? I don't understand. Sorry, I was just getting a drink. And he said, UFO abductees and people like that have this thing about owls. And I said, oh, I don't know about that. I said, but I do know that sometimes when I'm in the woods, I'm hearing calls that I know are not owls. And it, is it a signalling? There's that tapping noise that you talked about. I hear this.
Yeah.
And then it'll answer somewhere else. Glenn on YouTube has picked it up. He only last month, I think it was, on one of his videos, you hear it. It's like this tapping sound, and it's as if, is it them going? Like, so say we're we're thinking, right, it is them. Are they going, hang on a minute, you know, someone's here, don't pop up for 5 minutes while they go past, and then, I don't know, but clearly something is signalling that is not an owl, because it wouldn't be getting, it gets mentioned so many times by people that are out there, and they'll say, oh, has anybody ever said anything to you, Deb, about owls? And I say, yeah, like the conversation me and you had, but I always wait for people to mention it to me, because I don't want to put it in the mind, you know?
And I do feel that there is like a connection between people experience, because as I've told you, because I've been through a vast range of different phenomena in the paranormal, whatever you want to call it, and I've experienced the UFOs, and I was wondering at some point whether you wanted to do a show to do with that, but but anyway, the owls, part of the theory is that aliens can put, a cover image in
their brain. Right.
Owls seem to be cropping up, as well as deer. So some people think they've seen a deer, but, you know, it appears that it's been an alien and whatever. And my ex-wife... I remember telling me about an experience that she had seeing this. It wasn't an animal, it was a cat.
Right.
But again, same kind of thing with the eyes and whatever. And it was like outside the bedroom window, just staring in at her. Yeah. But it wasn't like a normal sized cat. It was like.
Yeah.
This kind of thing. And she said, when I was talking about the greys and the, typical sort of sizes, you know.
Yeah.
And this was about that kind of size, you know. And she was aware of my research and inquiring into what was going on.
Yeah.
And so she was thinking that maybe she didn't see a cat. And I said, well, maybe if you regress, that might come out with,
you get a true look of what you look like. See, it happens a lot. There's a lot of witnesses who see... not just the creatures that we see, but they've also seen light beings, they see the lights that we see. Glenn, actually, GPE on YouTube, if you want to see energy in action, go and look at his latest video. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks like what people say, oh, it's a dust, it's an orb. It clearly is not. One comes out of the ground,
Yeah.
And does this, obviously has a look around and comes back. And then the second one joins it. And it looks like they dance for a minute and then they both go off camera together. So it changes direction on a number of occasions. And up at Clodimoss, we've been able to catch it on camera, but not in video like that. But Glenn's managed to catch it in video. And it's like me and you always talk about, is everything energy? And is that energy showing as something we'll accept it as, kind of thing? Or is it the ground itself that's making that energy and it attracts something to it?
These orbs are quartz in the peripheral region mainly on different occasions.
Mm.
You'll see an orb for like 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah.
To appear, move, and then sort of vanish again. I've experienced that quite a few times. But the owl thing, coming back to that, I was looking at a video the other night on YouTube, which was it was saying someone in a car that was driving along, and the doctor stopped the car because there was an owl standing in the road, and then they said, and I remember this owl looking up the hood or the bonnet of the car at them. Now, I'm not sure that it's all the biggest owl in the world is, but you wouldn't expect an owl to be able to stand and look above the bonnet of the car, at the hood of the car. Well, this person realised in this video that it couldn't have been an owl, you know. Another person experienced an owl, and another looked at it, and suddenly it was like, as though it was like changing, as though it was like, in their words, it was changing like sort of a typical alien figure, the greys or whatever.
That reminds me so much of, A, not only the owl man in Cornwall, owl man of Morwen. There, in there's Horseshoe Pass in Wales, there is a lady and gentleman driving home, and they stop because they see an owl in the road.
Yeah.
And they get out to see to this animal, and what they described as a standing bear comes out of the woodline. They said it was completely covered in hair, it was miles bigger than a man, it looked like a bear but stood on two legs. So they were that startled that they got back in the car, and then the next day they went round and knocked on people's doors asking if they had any exotic pets because they saw this 7-foot bear man, but they stopped for an owl. It was the owl that caught their attention in the road.
It's like as though there's something going on that can project an image of what you're not really seeing, an owl.
Yeah, something you'd be comfortable with, kind of thing, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's probably what might happen with my ex-wife, the cat.
Very well. Well, I'm looking at the area because we want to get to that because people are thinking this is Wolverhampton, so, but that's not what I'm seeing. I am so used to looking at maps. What I can see is a corridor that goes from Cannock Chase and it runs down between blocks, which, am I saying it right, or is it block it? Block BLLXWICH, yeah? And Aldbridge. And it goes all the way down past Walsall and it keeps going and it joins up at the bottom with the country parks. And as we always say in British Bigfoot, if you're going to look for an area that's got golf courses, nature reserves and railway lines. And this place has it. I mean, we in the little minute that we had before we came online, we found 5 golf courses, didn't we? There's a Sutton Park golf course. There was... one second, I've got my map here. I'll help, let me pull it out. There are, within a walk of where you are, there are 2 other sightings, aren't there? And we have to make that clear. But just below you, there is what the lady described as the hunchback of Park Lime Pits, and it's a quarry. So, you know, you've also got the quarry in the area and the railway embankment, and she described the figure as raggedy, dirty and unkempt. He was massive and breathing heavily. And there was a number of children that saw it going along this line. And then, just above, I mean, it's within a mile of where your happening is, we've got what they're describing as the Beast of Cannock Chase, and it was phoned into the police. And it was on the junction of 10A on the motorway, on M6. So they're saying that the highway agency helplines were jammed with reports of a wolf-like creature racing between lanes at rush hour. Motorists looked on in disbelief as the three-foot-long creature described as greyish-black raced between the lanes. A number of people said it looked like a husky dog, but others said it was up on two legs. So that's, you know, all that. And then putting it together, I'm getting excited now, because that's why I'm going really fast. We look at areas, don't we, for ancient sites. So we're saying, if you can find, like, a quarry, some golf courses, railway line, you know, little areas of woods, and if there's, like, a barrow there or an ancient hillside or something like that, go and look there. Well, it's called Druid's Heath. So, so at one point, it must have been a massive sacred area, because Castle Rings there, isn't it? You've got...
Just up the road from me in, it's just to the one side of Rugeley,
yeah, and you've got, that's where your Canic Chase accounts come down through Rugeley, yeah.
10 years back, and I was intrigued, and as I looked at it, and I thought, well, if there was some kind of an ancient board, something there,
yeah,
and I was intrigued by the fact that there was, like, bubbling springs coming up.
Yeah, ancient springs, yeah, that's another one.
Some theories are that water underground can produce some kind of an electrical field.
Yeah, energy again, isn't it? Well, yeah, you'd go through Chase Water Country Park, come down Brown Hills Common, along Pelsall Common, keep coming down a little bit, and then you can sneak between the estates. And you've got the wolf-like creature of Cannock, and then you've got where you were, and there's a railway line runs right through it. So if you just wanted to, you know, jump on that and nip down, keep carrying on going down south, let's see where the next one picks up down south. Handsworth Golf Course, Great Bar Golf Course, Sheetwatch Nature Reserve, and then we're on the Shropshire Canal Monkey, and that Shropshire Canal runs up to near you, doesn't it? So that's like another... corridor, and it all kind of converges there, and they just keep going south from there on.
I think that they do use these sorts of corridors, you say.
Why not? It's easy, is it? Why make things hard for yourself?
And especially at night. I mean, never get many people knocking the doors, you know.
There's no one on a golf course at night, is there?
I mean, even this park, these woods at the back of this park,
yeah,
really, really dark at night. And I wouldn't feel at ease walking in them on my own. If someone was there with me, maybe, but it would be very easy for someone to hide and travel through the, you know, ring, as you say, of different areas. And I wondered whether, like, Canic Chase, I know, like, what is it, something like 40 square miles or whatever?
Yeah.
That it covers, supposedly. I wondered if, like, when the season for people getting out and about and into the Canic Chase and start walking out in the trees, I just wondered whether these... Because they've got to have some intelligence, you know.
Yeah, of course they have.
To themselves, oh, there's people knocking about now. We're going to sort of go out of this area and then they'll go into a less travelled by us.
I thought the same thing. It's underrun with tunnels, apparently. There's tunnels that run all underneath there. And I got a report in the week of... It was the World War II tunnels at Drakelow, which is not that far from you. When they were building it, they disturbed the next ancient barrow along from Castle Rigg, is where Drakelow is. And they disturbed that barrow when they were making... the artificial tunnels. And have a guess what one of the things is that's seen down there. Men that look like dogs.
Oh, dear.
And that made my ears prick right up, because that was reported by the soldiers, by the staff. It's now, you can go down there as a tourist, and they do ghost nights there and everything. And not only do they have, like, shadow men and the lights that we talk about, they also talk about these dog-like men. So it all fits together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a strange thing. With the, if you look at the Egyptians, I'm not sure whether, you know, just sort of like...
No, I know who you mean. The dog, there was, is it Anubis?
It's got like a dog head, and there's like other gods.
Ancient days, so, yeah.
I think it was connected with death, wasn't it? And it's very strange that you've got a belly on mound and this. And then an Akanikchai cemetery.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a report of someone seeing something that was like on all fours by the gravestone.
Yeah.
And it toddled off into the woods on 2 feet.
Yeah, he did. That's the German cemetery account for anyone that wants to look it up.
Yeah.
If you think about it, with that area being called Druid's Heath, I would imagine that all of that area at one time would have been sacred. If we go way back, I mean, Castle Rigg was 800. I've got the date somewhere I wrote down. It's ridiculously old. But even before that, the people were in that area. It must have been very sacred. And normally, druid is an ancient word for dryad, which is tree spirit. So normally, it would be a wooded area. Like Stonehenge would have been much, much more wooded than it is now. Back then, it would have been heavily wooded, that kind of thing. It just all seems to tie in, which brings us to your sister. We've only got about 8 minutes left, so we need to chat about Jane, because it all ties together. That we were talking last week when we said that when you ask people if you explain to them what your hobby is and what you're interested in, more times than not they say, well, actually, don't they? And they have a story to tell, and that's what happened with you and Jane, wasn't it?
Well, Jane, as I was talking about the this radio show and talking about the British Bigfoot and so on, and then she said, oh, she said, it's funny you should mention that. I said, she related two things to me. One was in Fishley Lane, Fishley Lane, not far from where I live, and her husband, Gary, he was the one who shared the experience with Leon Neal, but he was in the car driving with my sister, and his sister was in the back seat. Anyway, they were driving down Fishley Lane, and they suddenly saw this monk standing in the road. Anyway, he slowed down as he approached, and he was wondering why the monk didn't get out of the way, you know, and he was getting closer and closer, and then eventually it reached the point where, I said, what happened there? And she said, he just vanished. And I said, oh, okay. I said, he's got to have been a ghost, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was that one event. But my sister Jane, there's some ability that she has had. I'll come into that on another occasion or whatever. But anyway, this one time, she was telling me that they were in a place, Shenstone, and there was a road called Furtherly Lane, and it's spelled Furtherly, I think.
Yeah. I got that. It's in Shenstone in Walsall, very rural. I'm looking at it now on my map, so for anybody that doesn't know the area, it's very rural. There's lots of little woodlands, and you've got loads of little streams and brooks everywhere. It looks like a really nice area.
That's it. And she said, Gazza stopped the car because he wanted to pee, you know. And I said it was on a bridge.
Yeah, just past Druid's Heath Golf Club.
And I said, you know the bridge that he stopped on? I said, was this over a railway or a road or what? I said, I think it might be like sort of a river or something, so but it can't be certain. But I suppose it could happen to the exact spot, so I might be able to get some footage or something in the future. But anyway, I said it was in the passenger side, because... obviously, Gazza was the driver. He was standing there. And so then I suddenly became aware of this, like, dark figure just in the bushes, tree in the bushes. I said, no, I'm not kidding you, Steph, because my name is Steve. But ever since kid, they call me Steck or Stecker.
Right.
I'm not sure. I don't know what that means, but anyway, she, I still saw this figure. I said, it looked like it was more fours. I said, but it was like, I said, it was huge. And so and he sent me something after that says, I said, is she similar to the kind of size? And I sent me this picture of like a bear.
Yeah.
And anyway, I said, it's because it was dark and that I couldn't get too much detail. And somebody seemed to be like trying to slowly creep towards the car. And I said, and all of a sudden, there was this growl. And anyway, Gazza, who got B, he heard the growl as well. And I don't think he even bothered having his pee. He just got back in the car. And he watched his something in. And. And he said, did you hear that? And she says, yeah. Well, and I was telling you what she's seen. And I'm not sure whether he actually saw it. But anyway, he started pulling away in the car. And she says, put your lights on. And he said, I'm not putting my lights on. He said, until I get out of here. It's, you know, for some reason, he felt that panicked. But he didn't want to put the lights on. And grab the drawer. He probably wanted to try and sneak away in the car, if you would. And
it's right in the area that we were talking about this. It's on that Druid's Heath, you've got the let me just have a look here now. You've got Brown Hills Common, Clay Hanger Common, Ashtonwood Golf Club, Druid's Heath Golf Club, Whittingham Heath Golf Club. That's just three of them. And it's right next to all the accounts of like the Cannock Chase, where the Cannock Chase accounts are coming down. So it's an ideal area, isn't it, really? For anyone who knows the area, look, it's where Walsall Arboretum is, the tree place, isn't it? It's just above there. Sutton Coalfield Golf Club. Just head for the golf clubs, really, in the Midlands, because there's about 12 of them that encircle these accounts. We need to talk to these golfers or any security that are working. I'll do that from my end. I'll have a look and I'll shoot some emails out, because you never know. Security guards normally have a tale to tell you if they're out at night on the golf course, because there's a lot of accounts of, like, werewolf-type creatures, black shucks, obviously British Bigfoot creatures that are on the golf course themselves.
I wanted to ask the local allotment, which comes very close to these woods, whether strange things happen with the fruits at the grove.
Yeah, is any fruit going missing kind of thing that they can't account for? Some of the farmers report things like, that you wouldn't expect, bird seed, because I suppose it's edible, isn't it? Dog feed, blankets go missing for, you know, horse blankets go missing all the time. It seems that seems to be, it's not just food that disappears, sometimes tools disappear and then reappear back in the same place kind of thing. There's a lot of jiggery pokery goes on around allotments, I can tell you. So, unfortunately, Steve, we have come to the end of our hour again. So, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Don't you go anywhere, Steve. You stay on the line and we'll keep chatting. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody and I will be back hopefully in 2 weeks' time, because as you know, my dad's really poorly at the moment. So while that's happening, I'm going to just do the show once a fortnight just till we get through what we're having to endure. So have a very blessed week from me and from Steve. Good night, everyone.